Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, July 1st, 2020. Coming up this hour,
Dr. Anthony Fauci warns of coronavirus infections doubling in coming weeks.
California, Colorado, and Florida join the list of states rolling back reopening plans due to the outbreak.
And in Hong Kong, authorities make the first round of arrests under China's new national security law.
The strongest plea yet from administration officials to wear masks. The tri-state area has doubled its out-of-state visitor quarantine list. I'm Amy Morris. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. We'll hear from Yankees general manager Brian Cashman. And the NBA says the league could revisit its plan to resume the season.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by SEI. Today's competitive marketplace requires asset managers to become more operationally adept. See how you can transform your business with SEI's global platform at seic.com/IMS.
And U.S. futures are moving lower this morning. It is 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 3 points. Dow futures down 36. NASDAQ futures down 10. The DAX in Germany is up 0.7%. CAC in Paris down 0.1%. And the FTSE 100 up 0.1%. Nikkei 225 in Japan fell 0.75%. 10-year Treasury down 6/32nds, yield 0.67%. The yield on the 2-year 0.15%. NYMEX crude oil is up 3.1% or $1.20 at $40.47 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.2% or $3.70 at $18.04.30 an ounce. The euro 1.1233 against the dollar. The yen 107.52. Nathan.
Karen, we begin with a dire warning from Dr. Anthony Fauci. The nation's top infectious disease expert tells Congress daily coronavirus infections could more than double in coming weeks.
We are now having 40-plus thousand new cases a day. I would not be surprised if we go up to 100,000 a day if this does not turn around, and so I am very concerned.
Fauci points to indoor gatherings and bars for the surge in cases and urges all Americans to wear masks.
We've got to get that message out that we are all in this together, and if we are going to contain this, we've got to contain it together.
Hospitalizations are increasing in 12 states. The latest count has daily cases up 1.9%. That's above last week's average and approaching twice the level seen just 1 month ago. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with more. Good morning, John.
And good morning, Nathan. In Florida, Miami-Dade County reporting its highest number of hospitalizations in nearly 2 months. The state has banned consumption of alcohol in bars, but Governor Ron DeSantis has no plans for additional measures.
We're not going back, closing things. I don't think that that really is what's driving it. I mean, people going to business is not what's driving it. I think when you see the younger folks, I think a lot of it is more just social interactions.
And cases in Colorado have been rising since the state reopened bars. That has Governor Jared Polis reversing course and suspending indoor service.
Our country and the world has not yet figured out in a pandemic how to do bars and nightclubs safely. We just haven't.
Well, so far, Goldman Sachs estimates more than 40% of the country has reversed or halted economic reopenings. I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. In California, the state is reporting a record number of hospitalizations and the second biggest daily jump in cases. Here with more is Ed Baxter from our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
Governor Gavin Newsom says people have just rushed out and ignored separation and mask mandates. He says he's being forced to start enforcing mask guidance.
The framework for us is this. If you're not going to stay home and you're not going to wear masks in public, we have to enforce, and we will, and we'll be making announcements on enforcement.
He says he is also very worried about behavior over the 4th of July weekend. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Ed. As infections surge in several states, the European Union is extending its travel ban for U.S. residents. Bloomberg's Maria Tadeo has more from Brussels.
What the Europeans are saying is that this is really about not importing cases into the European Union. And at this point, the U.S. does not meet the criteria. The caveat here, of course, is that if you're a European citizen living anywhere, you can come back at any time, of course, because you're a European citizen, and the list will be updated every 2 weeks, which means that what's set in stone now may not apply by July 15th.
The EU is loosening travel rules for Australia, Canada, and Japan, but says the U.S. response to the pandemic is insufficient to allow Americans into the bloc.
Meantime, on Capitol Hill, Fed Chairman Jerome Powell is voicing concern about the surge in cases.
Hypothetically, a second outbreak could, force governments and force people to withdraw again from economic activity. And I think the worst part of it would be to undermine public confidence, which is what we need to get back to lots of kinds of economic activity that involve crowds.
Powell notes the economic recovery is moving faster than expected, but it's also presenting new challenges, most notably the need to keep the virus in check.
All right, switching gears now, we go halfway around the world where authorities in Hong Kong have made their first arrests under China's new controversial national security law. Here with the very latest is Bloomberg's Karen Lee in Hong Kong.
Less than 24 hours after the law was officially enacted on the city by China, they arrested a man holding a Hong Kong independence flag, and he was one of a few dozen protesters out in the central Causeway Bay district. They were met by a phalanx of riot police holding new purple warning flags that say they might be in violation of the law.
And let's go right to that central Causeway Bay district where we find Bloomberg's Sophie Kamarudin. She brings us the very latest now from the streets of Hong Kong.
Now, it has been largely peaceful with a few bouts of commotion at the police has taken measures to disperse crowds and prevent big groups from forming. They're using tactics like setting up cordons and barricades to limit the smooth movement of people. 30 people have been arrested for offenses including illegal assembly, violation of the security law, obstructing police officers, and possessing weapons. 10 members of the For Democracy People Power Party were among those arrested, and we have protest slogans being chanted as people are marching on the streets here on July 1st, the anniversary of the handover of Hong Kong to China.
The new national security law carries a potential life sentence for those convicted, and it applies to actions committed by anyone, whether they're Hong Kong residents or not. We'll have more on unrest in the city coming up throughout the morning here on Bloomberg Radio. S&P futures down 2 points, Dow futures down 22. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. At 5:07 on Wall Street, we bring in Amy Morris for more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning, Nathan. As coronavirus cases surge nationwide, new appeals from the administration for everyone to wear masks. Surgeon General Dr. Jerome Adams.
If you all will commit to wearing these face coverings and taking basic public health precautions, as the nation's doctor, as America's doctor, I want you to know I have every confidence that we can very quickly see these new case counts go down.
And closer to home, health officials in New York are investigating a potential coronavirus pocket at a small church in an upstate community. Governor Andrew Cuomo says one person who contracted that virus in Florida attended a service at St. Mary's Catholic Church in Ticonderoga on June 21st. The state is providing testing for anyone who attended that service. Meanwhile, New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut have expanded their quarantine lists to include 16 states. This as Governor Cuomo says the Capital Region is cleared to begin phase four of reopening starting today. That includes low-risk outdoor and indoor arts and entertainment, media production, and higher education services. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio's office says the city is on pace to reopen 15 of the city's 53 public outdoor swimming pools on August 1st. And in Connecticut, the coronavirus rate has reached an all-time low. Governor Ned Lamont says only 152 tests came back positive between Sunday and Monday, the lowest numbers they've seen so far. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio and the City Council, meanwhile, have agreed to an $88.1 billion budget on the final day of the city's fiscal year. That includes cutting police spending by $1 billion. And in New Jersey, Governor Phil Murphy signed $7.62 million stopgap spending bill for a fifth quarter for the current fiscal year. That'll help the state navigate a projected $10 billion shortfall. The plan cut about $2 billion in spending that was planned before the pandemic. And President Trump says he will veto the entire defense spending bill if it contains a provision that would remove names of Confederate officers from bases. The Warren Amendment was included in the measure that was approved by the Republican-led Senate Armed Services Committee. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right. Thanks, Amy. It's 5:09 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John Stanshire.
All right. Good morning, Nathan. With the virus spiking, is NBA Commissioner Adam Silver having second thoughts about resuming the season? We're just a week away from 22 teams reporting to Orlando and a hot spot state, but Silver said it's never been full speed ahead, that they could revisit their plans, and that if they get a lot of cases, they'll stop playing. The NHL might have the right idea. Go to Canada. There are reports the league is considering having its playoff games in Toronto and Edmonton. Baseball players start showing up today. Before the workouts come the tests for COVID. Actual workouts likely to start Friday. Yankees general manager Brian Cashman hopeful that players having gone so long without playing, but that doesn't lead to injuries.
Aaron Boone and our staff are going to try to, you know, get as close as they possibly can to stimulate some game actions over the course of this 3-week period, and that's going to, you know, put a stress on all aspects of the body. It's obviously designed to get them ready, but it also exposed those who might not be ready.
Cashman on the Yes Network also updated Yankee injuries. He said he's hopeful Aaron Judge's rib allows him to play the opener, that Aaron Hicks is a possibility back from Tommy John surgery, that James Paxton has resolved his bad back, and Giancarlo Stanton, who hurt his calf, may stick to being a DH. And what was not a well-kept secret, minor league baseball has been canceled, although most of the players will get paid. Hundreds who make a living working for minor league teams will not. There's a push by those who have won MVP awards to stop using the name Kennesaw Mountain Landis in connection with the award. He was the longtime commissioner who many say was not a proponent of letting black players into the game, and yet his name and face is on the MVP award. John Stanshower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. In other sports news, the Mets are cutting staff off the field. The New York Post is reporting the club laid off 25 employees last week. Most worked in business operations. The paper also says the Mets have instituted pay cuts for their entire staff. Getting ready for the kickoff of the second half of 2020. Futures are little changed to lower right now. S&P futures down a half a point. Dow futures down 9. NASDAQ futures lower by 4 points. We're going to check in next with Ben Laidler, CEO of Tower Hudson Research, for his outlook on the second half. This is Bloomberg. As far as the weather goes, we're looking for a partly sunny day. Chance for a few showers and thunderstorms, going up to near 80. Tomorrow, mix of sun and clouds, highs in the upper 80s. Right now, it is 70 degrees and partly cloudy in Central Park. This is Bloomberg.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures little change to lower. European stocks edging higher in a muted start to third quarter trading as investors mull mixed economic data and fresh warnings about the spread of the coronavirus. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down a point. Dow futures down 14. NASDAQ futures down 4. The DAX in Germany is up about 0.7%. 10-year Treasury down 7/32nds. Yield 0.67%. The yield on the 2-year 0.15%. NYMEX crude oil is up 3.1%, up $1.23 at $40.49 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.25% or $4.10 at $18.04.60 an ounce. The euro 1.1225 against the dollar, British pound 1.2395, and the yen 107.52. Today we are looking for a report on private payrolls by the ADP Research Institute at 8:15 Wall Street time. At 10, we get a look at manufacturing and construction spending, and then the Federal Reserve releases minutes from its June meeting at 2. General Mills and Constellation Brands among companies scheduled to report earnings today. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Amy Morris with more on what's going on around the world. Amy, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Lawmakers got an earful yesterday about where the coronavirus may be headed in the U.S. Details now from Bloomberg's John Tucker.
Well, Amy, the nation's top infectious disease expert, Anthony Fauci, tells Congress new cases of COVID-19 could more than double to 100,000 a day. Meantime, Miami-Dade County in Florida is reporting its highest number of hospitalizations in nearly 2 months. Republican Governor Ron DeSantis again ruled out new restrictions to curb the spread of the virus. In California, the state is reporting a record number of hospitalizations and the second biggest daily jump in cases. Economic reopenings have been stopped or reversed in 40% of the country. That's according to Goldman Sachs. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thank you, John. And in other news, the Trump administration is arranging a closed-door briefing today with intelligence officials for the so-called Gang of Eight House and Senate leaders regarding those reports that Russian operatives in Afghanistan offered bounties to kill American troops. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Amy, thank you. It's coming up to 5:20 on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. And as we get ready for the kickoff of the second half of 2020, we're joined live by Ben Laidler, CEO of Tower Hudson Research. Really good to talk with you this morning, Ben. Of course, we had the crash in the first quarter. Now we're coming off the best second quarter for stocks in more than 20 years. What's the outlook for Q3?
I think you're going to see, I hope you're going to see a consolidation, but I do think the risk remains, you know, very firmly on the upside. I think earnings are sort of bottomed. We've got to get through this upcoming Q2 earnings season, which is going to be the trough. And I do see sort of valuations slowly growing into this bottoming of earnings. But again, I do think the risk is to the upside here. I think Q2 earnings are going to be the bottom. I think you're going to get more fiscal stimulus. I think this economic rebound is going to be continue to be very resilient to this sort of scare that we're having right now on virus cases, and investor sentiment remains very negative. So I think the risk is we grind higher.
All right. Well, we do have those warnings, of course, from Dr. Fauci, and we are starting to see a number of states dial back or at least pause their reopenings. What kind of potential headwind could that pose?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, that needs to slow down at some point. But I think the data so far is showing you actually that this economic recovery has been very, very resilient to that. The sort of high frequency data. I mean, we have our high frequency activity data that we looked at last week. It improved 5% despite this sort of big spike in cases. So, you know, I hope that can continue. Obviously, at this point, we've got maybe a third of U.S. economic activity at least. Or at least restrictions sort of been slowing rather than stalling. So you would like to see that sort of top out at some point. But again, I think the message so far is how resilient the recovery has been to this spike in cases. The big question is how far that can go. But again, the activity is still very depressed. So I do think the risk remains on the upside. And if we do get this sort of spike under control, then I think that incremental data point is going to continue to be very positive. And again, aside from that, I do think the backdrop remains very supportive.
You say we've hit the trough in terms of earnings. When do you see earnings expectations catching up with valuations?
I think you're beginning to see it. So, you know, downgrades have stopped over the last month or so. Q2, which is coming up in a couple of weeks, is clearly the big test. Earnings are going to fall something like 45%. That's like three times more than we came through in the first quarter. But I think that's the trough. Then you've got, you know, a big sort of 30% earnings rebound forecast for next year. And I think if we begin to see that sort of get validated by this continued incremental recovery over the next weeks and months, then I think valuations stop looking expensive. I mean, you're on less than 20 times earnings for next year, which is not too far away from your sort of 5-6 year average, and with bond yields, well under 1%, I would make the case that if you get that sort of earnings rebound, valuations are really quite undemanding.
So does that have you thinking that a rotation to value stocks happens a little bit sooner than what a lot of people might be thinking right now?
Yes, I mean within reason. I mean we're running a pretty balanced portfolio. I mean I don't there's clearly a lot of uncertainty out there. We still like a lot of these sort of long duration quality growth sectors like tech and healthcare. I think they can continue to do well in this environment. But absolutely, I would be adding sort of selectively to, you know, we've been adding to small cap, real estate, some energy names. Definitely be very selective on the value side, though. I mean, we still don't like financials, for example, which I think has some very specific headwinds from bond yields and sort of capital distribution. I mean, that's your biggest sort of value sector. But outside of financials, we've absolutely been adding to value. I definitely think it does well as we sort of come through this GDP and earnings inflection point, which I think we're going to see in the next few weeks.
All right. Thanks for this. As always, good talking with you, Ben. That is Ben Laidler. He is the CEO of Tower Hudson Research. And as we get ready to head into the second half, little change on the futures contracts at the moment. S&P futures little changed right now. Dow futures are down by 3 points. NASDAQ futures lower by a half point. Stock 600 higher by a half percent in Europe. The 10-year Treasury is down 6/32. The yield 0.67% on the 10-year note. 2-year yield 0.15%. West Texas Intermediate is higher by 3.25%. $40.55 a barrel. The euro at 1.1226 against the dollar. And the yen 107.53. Stay with us. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And tune in later this morning for an interview with John Bolton, former National Security Advisor, discusses his new book and his time at the White House on Bloomberg surveillance. Hear that conversation at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time today on Bloomberg Radio.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are little change to higher now to kick off the third quarter as investors watch coronavirus cases surge in several states. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the very latest. John, good morning.
And Karen, hospitalizations are increasing in 12 states. The latest count has daily cases up 1.9%. That's above last week's average and approaching twice the level seen just 1 month ago. If things don't change, Dr. Anthony Fauci says infections could more than double in coming weeks.
I would not be surprised if we go up to 100,000 a day if this does not turn around, and so I am very concerned.
California is reporting a record number of hospitalizations and its second biggest daily jump in cases. Miami-Dade County in Florida reporting its highest hospitalizations in nearly 2 months. That has both states rolling back reopening plans. So far, Goldman Sachs estimates that more than 40% of the country has reversed or halted economic reopenings. I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thanks. And as infections surge in several states, the European Union is extending its travel ban for U.S. residents. Bloomberg's Maria Tadeo has more from Brussels.
This is really about not importing cases into the European Union. And at this point, the U.S. does not meet the criteria. The caveat here, of course, is that the list will be updated every 2 weeks, which means that what's set in stone now may not apply by July 15th.
The EU says the U.S. response to the pandemic is insufficient to allow Americans into the bloc for non-essential reasons.
Meantime, in Hong Kong, China's new national security law has taken effect, and Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis brings us the very latest.
The new law carries a potential life sentence for those convicted. It extends to actions by anyone, whether or not they are Hong Kong residents, and it would ensnare even people committing nonviolent actions. Opposition lawmakers say it will cast a chilling effect over civil liberties. And top activists resigned from their parties, some of those parties disbanded. Yet, Hong Kong leader Carrie Lam scoffed at the criticism. What country in the world, she said, doesn't have its own security legislation? In Hong Kong, Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Brian. Already, authorities in Hong Kong have made their first arrests under the national security law. Bloomberg's Karen Lee has more from the city.
They arrested a man holding a Hong Kong independence flag, and he was one of a few dozen protesters out in the Central Causeway Bay District. They were met by a phalanx of riot police holding new purple warning flags that say they might be in violation of the law.
And we will bring you a live update from those protests in the Central Causeway Bay District coming up in 15 minutes right here on Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's now 5:33 on Wall Street. For more on the latest world and national news, we bring in Bloomberg's Amy Morris. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning, Nathan. It is the strongest appeal yet from the administration for the public to wear masks. Surgeon General Dr. Jerome Adams asking the public to, quote, please, please, please wear a mask. Vice President Mike Pence asking people to follow guidelines.
Wash your hands. Practice good hygiene. And wear a mask. Whenever your state and local authorities say it's appropriate. So where it's always a good idea to wear a mask when social distancing is not possible.
Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar also appealing to the public to wear masks. New York State health officials investigating a potential coronavirus hotspot at a church in upstate New York. Someone who contracted the virus in Florida attended services at St. Mary's Catholic Church in Ticonderoga on June 21st. Governor Andrew Cuomo says the state will provide testing for anyone who attended that service. This as 16 states are now on the quarantine list for New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut. Visitors would have to quarantine for 2 weeks upon arrival. But the numbers are going down in New York, so Governor Cuomo says the capital region is cleared to begin phase four of reopening starting today, including low-risk outdoor and indoor arts and entertainment, media production, and higher education services. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio and the City Council have agreed to an $88.1 billion budget on the final day of the city's fiscal year, and that includes cutting police spending by $1 billion. This, as the mayor's office says, the city is also on pace to reopen 15 of the city's 53 public outdoor swimming pools on August 1st. Connecticut's coronavirus rate has reached an all-time low. Governor Ned Lamont says only 152 tests came back positive between Sunday and Monday, the lowest numbers they've seen so far. Still, the governor says residents need to keep their guards up and not take those numbers for granted. And in a tweet just before midnight, President Trump threatened to veto the entire defense spending bill if it contains a provision that would remove names of Confederate officers from military bases. The Warren Amendment was included in the measure that was approved by the Republican-led Senate Armed Services Committee. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Okay, Amy, thanks. It's 5:35 on Wall Street and time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here's John Stashar.
All right, Nathan, July 1st, the date for the restart of spring training. Until recently, the Mets and Yankees thought they'd be going to Florida. Instead, they're in New York, and the first order of business today, everyone gets tested. Yankees general manager Brian Cashman said on the Yes Network, the team has so far been lucky.
We've experienced, every walk of life, positive COVID test. But thankfully, from that, we really only had, and it was back in spring training, we really only had one employee, for instance, one employee that really was struggling for a good 10 days with it and needed some hospitalization. That was back in March.
The first actual workout will be Friday or Saturday. The NHL has still not announced where its playoff games will be held. Five cities vying for two spots with so many virus cases in the U.S. Some say the NHL will stick with Toronto and Edmonton. The NBA, we know, is headed to Orlando next week, but Commissioner Adam Silver admits if there are too many cases, they'll stop playing. Three New Orleans Pelicans players just tested positive. The Denver Nuggets closed their facility. A lot of local and national broadcasters in all sports will be doing games from a studio rather than the site, but the NBA says its announcers will be at the games, and that has caused 79-year-old Marv Albert to not take part. He's been doing NBA games since 1963. The NBA also says the games will be on a delay so they can edit out players and coaches using bad language. Cam Newton's going to New England. Could Odell Beckham be following? The two have been working out together. Beckham's 2019 season in Cleveland did not go well, but the former Giant says he wants to stay with the Browns. The Pats got Newton on the cheap. Beckham makes $18 million a year. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Thank you.
Thank you, John. It's 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report. Here's Bloomberg's Joan Doniger. Good morning, Joan.
Nathan, New York City hotels need to fill empty rooms during the pandemic, so some are offering rooms as temporary office space. One in Soho, another a few blocks away from Grand Central are pitching themselves as potential office spaces. The Roger Smith Hotel says there is interest from companies that are downsizing. New Jersey Governor Murphy signed a $7.6 billion stopgap spending bill for the current fiscal year to cope with a more than $10 billion shortfall in revenue. However, the plan cuts nearly $2 billion in spending that was planned before the coronavirus outbreak, and it extends the fiscal year through September while cutting the next one short by 3 months. New Jersey restaurant owners are furious with the governor. They were supposed to open for indoor dining today. Governor Murphy put that on pause. Restaurants, though, have already received deliveries of fresh food that now they probably won't be able to use as they go back just to takeout and outdoor dining. With the Tri-State Business Report, I'm Joan Doniger. Nathan?
All right, Joan, thanks. It's 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WCCO in Minneapolis, we're watching for earnings from General Mills.
I'm Jeff Bellinger, and on WTVN in Columbus, I'm reporting the Ohio Attorney General says General Motors should repay $60 million in state tax credits.
I'm Caroline Hepcorn, Bloomberg DAB, digital radio in London. We're reporting on a new warning from British business leaders about the economic damage if the UK fails to get a post-Brexit trade deal with the EU.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KRLD in Dallas. American Airlines' plan to fill planes draws rebuke from the CDC.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. We're also watching shares of FedEx in the pre-market. They are up almost 10.5%, with the company reporting better than estimated earnings after launching an efficiency drive aimed at home deliveries. Here with more is Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
FedEx declined to provide a financial forecast amid the economic uncertainty from the pandemic, but CEO Fred Smith sounded an upbeat note, saying, quote, as a result of these strategic investments we've made to enhance our capabilities and efficiencies, FedEx is well positioned to support and benefit from the reopening of the global economy. FedEx Express picked up volume from the government and companies airlifting personal protective equipment and other essential goods to combat the worldwide COVID-19 pandemic. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. And shares of Beyond Meat are up almost 10% in the pre-market. For the first time ever, the fake meat producer will begin selling plant-based burgers in China supermarkets this weekend. In the U.S., sales of plant-based meat products soared 264%. In the first months of the lockdown. The latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is online now with the cover on the King and the CEO. LeBron James and business partner Maverick Carter are expanding their media empire at perhaps just the right moment. Terminal customers can receive a complimentary subscription at MAGGO and listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly right here on Bloomberg Radio, or watch it on YouTube weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. Wall Street time. Get global business, finance, and tech news on your TV, computer, or mobile device. Just visit YouTube.com and search Bloomberg Global News. This is Bloomberg. Heading into the second half of the partly sunny day expected, maybe a few showers and thunderstorms, going up to around 80 degrees. Partly cloudy tonight, upper 60s, upper 80s tomorrow. Right now, 70 and partly cloudy in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. And U.S. stock index future is now moving lower, and European stocks are little changed. And a muted start to third quarter trading as investors mull mixed economic data and fresh warnings about the spread of the coronavirus. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 11 points, Dow futures down 107, NASDAQ futures down 30. The DAX in Germany is up 0.7%. 10-year Treasury down 6/32, yield 0.67%. The yield on the 2-year 0.15%. NYMEX crude oil is up 2.7%, or $1.09 to $40.36 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.3%, or $5.40 at $18.05.90 an ounce. The euro 1.1220 against the dollar, British pound 1.2395, and the yen 107.51. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Amy Morris with more on what's going on around the world. Amy.
Karen, health experts painting a grim picture for lawmakers about the future of the coronavirus in the U.S. Bloomberg's John Tucker joining us now live with details. John.
And Amy, the nation's top infectious disease expert, Anthony Fauci, tells Congress new cases of COVID-19 could more than double to 100,000 a day. Miami-Dade County in Florida is reporting its highest number of hospitalizations in nearly 2 months. Republican Governor Ron DeSantis again ruled out new restrictions to curb the spread of the virus. In California, that state is reporting a record number of hospitalizations and the second biggest daily jump in cases. Meantime, economic reopenings have been stopped or reversed in 40% of the country, according to Goldman Sachs. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, John. In other news, almost 90% of Americans say they're dissatisfied with the state of the country. A new Pew Research Center study shows voters' unhappiness will be reflected in their political decisions going into the presidential election. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Amy, thank you. It is now 5:49 on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. Now let's get the latest from Hong Kong, a city marking now 23 years today since the end of British rule. with a new national security law from China that could put its autonomy at risk. Already, that law has led to at least two arrests, according to police. For the latest, we're joined live from Hong Kong by Bloomberg's Sophie Kamarudin. Good to have you with us this morning, Sophie. What do we know about these arrests so far?
Of the arrests that have been made, two have been linked to the new security bill. The individuals, they were holding posters and flags that displayed the saying Hong Kong independence. So that puts them under the scrutiny of this new bill. Police have also made other arrests related to other offenses, such as illegal assembly. So far on their Twitter, the latest update is more than 70 arrests haven't been made. And given the activity we've seen throughout parts of the city, there's heavy police presence, and there are people on the streets who are not wearing the usual all-black garb that we've come to see for Hong Kong protesters here. They look like they're enjoying their public holiday. People are out shopping, going to restaurants, but they are milling on the streets, trying to find some kind of solidarity, if you will. But the police have managed to put up cordons in strategic areas around the city to dispel crowds from gathering. But still, people are out and about, and it is largely peaceful here in Hong Kong.
And as I watch headlines across the Bloomberg as we speak, Sophie, Hong Kong police are now saying seven people have been arrested under the security law and more than 180 in all in today's protests. So it doesn't seem as though this new national security law is quelling the demonstrations, at least not at this point.
For those who have been arrested, what we have seen and observed through footage or observing a few streets away, people are impassioned when it comes to their positions and feelings on the national security bill that was passed not even 24 hours ago. There is a lot of uncertainty as to the reach of the bill, who will actually fall under its provisions. Currently, the details are that four offenses can be punished, namely terrorism, subversion of state power, secession, and collusion with foreign forces. And the maximum penalty for the most severe of those cases would be for life imprisonment. One of the big worries leading into this decision was whether a death penalty would be introduced. That was not the case. And retroactive application will not be applied as well. But as we've noted, we are seeing a pickup in arrests today, more than 180 being arrested just in the latest update from police. So going into the evening here in Hong Kong, it's unlikely we'll see the activity die down.
It's interesting. We heard from Chinese officials calling this law a sword of Damocles for critics of the regime, and it seems like that's at least one point of agreement that both supporters and critics of this law can find here.
Yeah, backers of the bill as well as detractors contend the focus is very narrow, though it only impacts a minority, the most strident critics of the government. But there's a wide scope in terms of who could run afoul of the rules, given the extraterritorial nature of the bill, which covers Hong Kong residents and non-residents anywhere in the world. So, again, there's this gray area as to whether incitement and instigation along with action will lead to arrest, prosecution, and punishment.
When you have that kind of reach for a law like this, Sophie, what is the concern in the business community in Hong Kong on the kind of effect that it could have on them?
The message could be interpreted as stay out of politics. You have seen the likes of HSBC and Standard Chartered, for example, lend their support to the bill, implying that they want to do business here, that they will keep their noses clean in terms of staying out of the political conversation. In the wake of this bill being passed, we had similar rhetoric from the chief of Barclays and investors who Bloomberg has spoken to. They're looking at the bigger picture here when it comes to how they foresee dealing with investments and relationships here in Hong Kong. Ultimately, it is still a capital hub, whether it will remain a global force as a financial hub, that remains in question. But many have said this bill is meant to provide stability and support for the rule of law. But here in the city, that debate is certainly still very much left open.
Bloomberg's Sophie Kamaruddin with us from Hong Kong this morning. Sophie, thank you so much for the update. Really appreciate it. Karen?
All right, thanks, Nathan. It is 5:54 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
The Supreme Court has released two opinions so far since the justices made history in May by hearing arguments by phone. The decisions came twice as fast as usual. Smile Direct Club is suing Delta Dental, charging the insurance company with fraud for denying coverage for web-based teeth straightening treatments. Smile Direct Club says the pandemic has made teledentistry more important than ever. A United Nations body eased a greenhouse gas reduction plan at the urging of the airline industry, which said the pandemic is an obstacle to achieving the plan's targets.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need on one legal research platform. Guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
And now another legal story we're watching. The Supreme Court has ruled the president has the power to fire the director of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, but stopped well short of abolishing the agency. Chief Justice John Roberts wrote the majority opinion in the 5-4 decision. For more on the ruling, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks to Jill Fish, a business law professor at the University of Pennsylvania Law School.
This decision seemed to give some and take away some. It ruled that the CFPB is constitutional, but that its director can be fired without cause by the president.
It's clearly a compromise, and you see that not so much in the majority opinion, but in the stridency of both Justice Thomas and Justice Kagan's opinions. They, I think, highlight how extreme a position the court could have taken in either direction and chose not to.
Chief Justice John Roberts wrote the majority opinion. What was his reasoning for coming to this decision?
So I think there's components to this. I think first and most importantly, the future of the modern administrative state. The breadth of the court's reasoning could potentially affect the legitimacy, not just of the CFPB, but a range of independent agencies, the FTC, the Federal Communications Commission, the Securities and Exchange Commission, the CFTC. So the court had to be careful not to undermine the workings of those agencies. Second component, the court, I think, was very concerned not to disrupt completely protection of consumers and consumer finance regulation. A broadly written decision that struck down the CFPB entirely would have left consumer protection in a range of areas completely undesignated, right? Other agencies don't have the manpower, don't have the bandwidth, and in some cases don't have the statutory authority to pick up the slack.
And that's University of Pennsylvania law professor Jill Fish speaking with Bloomberg's June Grasso. Catch more of that interview plus analysis of the latest legal news by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcasts. And attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com. S&P futures are lower, down 8 points. Dow futures down 88. NASDAQ futures down 23. The 10-year Treasury is down 8/32, yield 0.68%. And the yield on the 2 years at 0.15%. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.